Good morning.
The first lesson comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what were sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. We will read Psalm 133 responsively by verse. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity.
It is like fine oil upon the head that runs down the beard.
Upon the beard of Aaron and runs down upon the collar of his robe.
It is like the dew of Hermon that falls upon the hills of Zion.
For there the Lord has ordained the blessing of life forevermore. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that they also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice from our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here ends the second lesson.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand on his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here And see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to join me over here. Always good to see you. In that story that I read, Thomas, who was one of Jesus' followers, Thomas couldn't believe that Jesus was alive. Thomas saw Jesus die on the cross, and now they said, He's alive! Couldn't believe it. Sometimes it's hard to believe. If I were to tell you, I can fly, let's go up on the roof and you get a hold of me and we'll jump down and we'll fly to the earth, would you believe me? You would, well, all right. Well, I'm not gonna do that. What if I were to say, I can walk on the top of water in a lake or in a river just like Jesus did, would you believe me? What if I were to tell you that when those men went up on the moon, I was with them and I walked on the moon too. Would you believe me? Sometimes it's hard to believe. Well, I have something in this bag that no one has ever seen before, and when I show it to you, no one will ever see it again. No one ever in all the world have seen what I have in my hand. And when I show it to you, nobody will ever see it again. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? That nobody has ever seen it? Yeah, it is kind of hard. Well, let me show you what's in my hand that no one, none of these people, anybody has ever, ever seen. And then, no one will ever see it again. You like peanuts? Do you? Well, guess what? Nobody has ever seen these peanuts before. No one's ever seen them because they've been in the shell. And no one's ever seen them, and no one's ever going to see them again. Sometimes it's hard to believe. Sometimes it's hard to believe. But sometimes when things are hard to believe, sometimes they're true. Just like when the disciples said to Thomas that Jesus was alive. Thomas saw Jesus die. He couldn't believe he was still alive. Sometimes, when it's hard to believe, it's still true. Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, help me to believe,
help me to believe,
even when it's hard.
Even when it's hard.
Now, I have here some more peanuts. And you can say to people, I have something in my hand no one has ever seen before. And when I show it to you, no one will ever see it again. And you eat the peanut. And then you've done something to make people believe that sometimes when it's hard to believe, it's still true. There you go. You can take the peanuts and share them. Oh, that's good. I'm glad Grandpa got them. Don't eat those peanuts in here. You'll get the cleaning people on your case. I might have even left a little bit there. Sometimes it's hard to believe. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Sometimes it's hard to believe, even for the most ardent, passionate, devoted, stalwart, faithful person. Sometimes it's hard to believe. Take Thomas, for example. There can be no doubt that Thomas loved the Lord. He was ready to go to Jerusalem and to die with Jesus. Just a few chapters back, when Jesus is up in Galilee, the northern part of the country, where he was relatively safe, where he had a loyal following, and he announced that he was going to go back to Jerusalem. The disciples tried to dissuade him. As John records it, they said, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you up down there in Jerusalem. Actually, by the way, it's always up to Jerusalem, no matter where you are, because of Mount Zion. So always refer to going up to Jerusalem. The Jews were trying to stone you up there in Jerusalem. In other words, it says, what's the matter with you, man? Are you crazy? But it was Thomas who never questioned the Lord. It was Thomas who boldly stated, let us go with him and die with him in Jerusalem. Those are not words of some fair weather friend. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he charged his disciples to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and to be my witnesses. It was Thomas, tradition tells us, Thomas, who went to what was at that time the end of the world. He went to India. It was Thomas who witnessed to Jesus in India, and some say even took the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to China. Does that sound like doubting Thomas? My point is, Thomas was not some half-hearted, on-again, off-again disciple. Thomas loved his Lord. Thomas was committed to his Lord. Thomas was faithful to his Lord. So why then, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and place my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe? Why words from such a dedicated follower? My sense is, and this is just conjecture, this is not in the scriptures, but it's my sense of what was going on. John does tell us that Thomas was not present with the disciples when Jesus appeared with them to them in the upper room. I believe on Good Friday, Thomas was so brokenhearted, so grief-stricken, so overcome with anguish that he could not bear to meet the eyes of his friends. So he went away to be by himself. Thomas wanted to be alone with his grief. And in his aloneness, he began to doubt Jesus. He began to doubt the promise that Jesus made to rise again on the third day. He began to doubt the commitment that he made just a few days earlier to go and die with Jesus. And his doubt made him bitter. And his bitterness led him, when confronted by the disciples of the resurrected Jesus, it was his doubt and his bitterness that Thomas swore, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark and my hand in his side, I will not believe." He had seen Jesus die a horrible death on the cross. Thomas saw that. Now you're telling me he's alive? Sometimes it's just too hard to believe, even for the most ardent believer. But the story doesn't end there, as you well know. Thomas doubted our Lord and our Lord's promise. Thomas doubted Jesus. But the good news is, Jesus did not doubt Thomas. Jesus came to Thomas and gave him the opportunity to make the test that he demanded. That's the good news. Even when we faithful believers doubt our Lord, and we find it hard to believe, he does not doubt us. He finds a way to come to us, as he did to those disciples barricaded in the upper room with locked doors. He found a way to come to them. I think I know how Thomas felt. 3 years ago, on Easter morning, as Carolyn and I were getting ready for the celebration at Grace, got a phone call from Pastor Cover telling us that Bob Egley had died. Bob was a stalwart bass in the choir. He had been a council president, and when I was incapacitated and couldn't drive for several weeks, it was Bob who was my chauffeur to take me to make hospital visits and communion calls. I got to know Bob. He was a friend. I didn't want to go to church that morning. I didn't want to go to church on Easter Sunday. Like Thomas, I did not want to meet the eyes and the faces of all those people. I didn't want to put on a happy face. I didn't feel like Easter. I didn't feel like resurrection. And then last year, the day after Easter, two of our church's most beloved matriarchs both died. Barbara and Marta were faithful members of the body of Christ and filled all kinds of positions there, and I knew them well. There was little joy that Easter season after those two huge funerals. And then, this year, during Holy Week, on Wednesday, Gary Murray choked to death in Galifti's restaurant, despite attempts to do the Heimlich and several medical people there. Gary choked to death. Like Bob and Barbara and Marta, Gary was a much loved member of the body of Christ. He was a faithful tenor in the choir. He did so many things at Grace that he was affectionately called the Energizer Bunny. And so remembering Bob and Marta and Barbara and Gary, I didn't feel like Easter last week. I didn't feel like resurrection. But the good news of Easter is, just like for Thomas, Jesus found a way to come to me, like he did to Thomas. Those disciples were grieving and they were afraid, so afraid, John tells us, that they locked the doors. They were barricaded in their room behind locked doors, and Jesus found a way to come to them. He came to them in their fear and doubt. Jesus always finds a way to come to us. So a week later, Thomas is with the disciples and they witness to the resurrection, and Thomas said, you know what he said, I will not believe. And then Jesus gave him the opportunity to make the test that he demanded. And I find it interesting that John, the gospel writer, doesn't tell us whether or not Thomas really did make that test. He didn't tell us because it wasn't important. The important thing is that Jesus came to Thomas. Like I shared with the children, Jesus didn't say, you doubted me, so out of here. Jesus didn't say that because Jesus knew that sometimes it's hard to believe. Remembering Bob, Marta, Barbara, and Gary, I didn't feel like Easter this year. And I suspect that next year, the fourth year in a row, I will face Easter with some fear and foreboding. But how I felt didn't change a thing. Jesus still came to me that Easter. He came to me in the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Holy Communion. Jesus found a way to come to my heart locked up with grief. He did not refuse, renounce, repudiate, reject me because I didn't want to go to church on Easter Sunday morning. Jesus found a way to come to me. And when the pastor and the assisting minister said, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for your sins, I said, amen. There Jesus was in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. It was still hard for me to be joyful and rejoice. It was hard for me, deep down, to really believe. But that didn't change a thing. After 3 days in the tomb, Jesus is alive and has defeated the power of death for all time. And it does not matter how I feel. The resurrection is not dependent upon how I feel. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Faith is not feeling. Sometimes I don't feel faithful. But Jesus is always faithful. Like Jesus came to Thomas, Jesus comes to us. In the scriptures, in the waters of baptism, in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, Jesus finds a way to come to us. And how I feel doesn't change a thing. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.
Savior.